5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0, blast off!
God's name is going on in here. What was that ruckus?
What ruckus?
I was just in my office and I heard a ruckus.
Could you describe the ruckus, sir?
Watch your tongue, young man. Watch it.
Everybody, it's old Shazaz here again for the third time. Apparently somebody out there doesn't like the information that I'm trying to promote. So, with that said, I'm back, and hopefully I can stay back long enough. I keep getting the boot, and most generally happens whenever Skype is on there. I get the old intruder attack and all that kind of jazz. So with that said, if I drop off again, I'll fire back up and we'll just try to finish the show out the best we can. So with that said, hopefully some of my mad science friends have figured out that I'm back online and will call me up and we'll get this show on the road. In the meantime, What I was trying to say earlier, if you hear that popping in the background, those are two spark gaps that are firing via the sun out there. I've got a solar-powered fence charger out there that farmers use to keep cattle in their fencing. And so basically what's going on is the fence charger is pulsing through two fluorescent bulb starters, which are being used as diodes to rectify the AC, the high voltage AC, into DC current, and charging up a 6600 UF capacitor. So when this capacitor gets to full charge, which it's a 60 volt capacitor, when it gets to full charge, it should fire and pulse a third fluorescent bulb starter, which are all being used as not only rectifiers but spark gaps. Yay, here we go. Hopefully we can hang on there this time. I'll just try not to touch anything, because every time I do, somebody like gives me the boot. So anyway, hi guys, how's it going?
Hey, we're just looking here at this picture. We're thinking about Einstein, man. Who cut your hair, dude?
Oh, wow, man. Who cut your hair, man?
Top of the morning to you, brother.
Yeah, I've been booted twice already, man.
That's, we were noticing you're going on offline. I said, well, that means the show is, too.
Well, my doggone antivirus, I get this intrusion alert that pops up. And then, right shortly after the intrusion alert, my computer locks, and then I got to reboot and fire everything back up, and so all the expletives you don't hear, hopefully.
I use the raggedy Ann virus protector.
Well,
you know, we only use the Andy virus. He's not so good.
I got Panda, and it's a good one. It stops the virus portion of it, but somehow or another, I get intrusion alerts, intrusion attempts, and all that kind of stuff, you know. Port scan.
So it blocks it by just knocking you off the web.
Pretty much.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm going to tell you something that you probably have heard. If you've talked to cultists, you might have heard a negative review on.
What's that?
But to explain why you got the negative review from him. The way I protect my system is I use PureBlock, right? And I use AdBlock Plus. And anytime I download something, I use ClamWin to look through it. Because ClamWin it'll catch anything. It's a completely open, it's ran by a guy who basically does it completely for free. He never charges anything for it. He uses it himself. So he's not developing viruses and then, you know, developing an antivirus so that he can sell the antivirus after everybody gets infected with the virus, like you have had numerous accounts where Norton antivirus has been accused of, as well as McAfee. But, you know, it doesn't do any good to fix a program that's infected. It just says, this is infected, what do you want to do with it? Do you want to quarantine it? Do you want to delete it? Do you want to, you know, it basically stops it from operating, and it just, you know, pushes it out. And, you know, I've never had false antivirus flag by scanning something with it. But if you install PureBlock or AdBlock Plus on your system and you are already infected, which is what he tried to do after he had already been infected, then basically you have a virus that gets, it's like something getting trapped inside of a jar and it goes nuts and starts banging against the jar all over the place. Well, this thing kept hitting his internet connection, trying to get out. And of course, PureBlock was just constantly saying, nope, sorry, nope. And it, you know, it causes resource issues where basically your computer really slows down because it has to keep processing all of the data that that virus or that malware keeps trying to, keeps using to try to connect to the internet. And many of them, when they can't get a hold of some, you know, whatever their home base is, will just keep trying over and over and over again as fast as they can. So you got to start with a fresh install, and then install PureBlock and AdBlock Plus, which, thankfully, are cross-platform. That means you can use it for Mac, you can use it for Windows, or you can use it for Linux. It doesn't matter. It works on all of them.
Cool. Anyway, do you guys hear that popping noise in the background here? Did you hear any of the first portion of my show? No, nobody was listening. Boy, I'm getting
not yet.
I'm getting an inferiority complex. I'm getting an inferiority complex.
Huh?
I'm just kidding. I say because you guys weren't listening to the beginning of my show. I'll go ahead and reiterate for the mad scientist who just came on board there. Who all do we got here? We got Muddy, and we got Thomas, and Larry. Looks like we got Larry in there. Mitko. Yay! The Dream Team. Well, we're only missing a few of them. Dieting and Cultist.
Ryan.
And Ryan. Yeah, Ryan. Can't forget Ryan. He's my favorite mad science guy. He's the only...
No Cultist. He seems to be still be MIA, so...
Yeah, he's out and about. He's just waiting for his lab to get back home. But anyway, yeah, I was about to say about Ryan, he's the only mad scientist among us who's willing to go up and shake hands with a bolt of lightning, so... I've shook hands with a bolt of lightning once or twice, but it wasn't intentional, you know. I didn't... Hey, buddy, how's it going? Anyway, what I got going on, you can barely hear it, I guess, on your side, but I can hear it and I can watch it on monitors because it puts out a pretty good little pulse, and you'll see a line shoot across the TV monitors as it pulses. But I've taken an average 4.5 volt fence charger and mounted it to the shed outside, and so it's solar powered. And when it pulses, it sends a, you know, obviously a AC voltage down the line. And I've got two fluorescent bulb starters, the little gas ones that are filled with argon that I keep talking about all the time. And I'm using them as diodes, so you don't have to build a bridge rectifier or anything like that. You just, excuse me, doggone it. You just use these two bulb starters, one on the positive and one on the negative, to change the voltage from high voltage AC to high voltage DC, and then it shoots across the spark gap and then hits the capacitor. I'm using a 6600 UF capacitor. It's a 60 volt one. They're actually, you can find them in like guitar and bass amplifiers and stuff like that. But anyway, it's charging up that capacitor, and it has a third bulb starter on there that whenever it finally charges the capacitor up fully, it'll jump that gap there and pulse a Tesla coil. So essentially what I got going on is a solar-powered Tesla coil. Ah, doggone it, man. Summertime cold or something.
Oh, okay. So you didn't have something go down the wrong pipe.
No, I have choked on coffee a few times this morning as I watched my computer get the boot, and it drove me insane. But, you know, that's neither here nor there. At least I didn't spit on the screen a bunch of coffee. So, anyway, what do you guys think of that concept? I'm going to try to get a video out this afternoon and show everybody what it is I'm talking about.
I like that rectifier concept. I need to look more into that because that sounds a little bit like the static to pulse generator design that I came up with. There might be some improvements that I can throw into that before I fully make a stab at building one of those things.
Well, that'd be good. I got the idea from the mercury arc rectifier. Because the mercury arc rectifier, as you know, if you've done any research on it, was essentially the first diode. It was to turn high voltage AC back whenever Edison and Westinghouse and Tesla was all doing the battle over the difference between AC and DC current. Well, of course, Westinghouse and Tesla won out, and so we ended up with AC current. But before that actually occurred, they already had in place old DC, high voltage DC electric motors that needed to be ran. Of course, you can't run AC off of DC directly, and so you had to figure out a way by which you could rectify this, and they used the the mercury arc rectifier to do that. It had a small pool of mercury in the bottom of it, and when you sent the high voltage AC in there, it would heat up the mercury and vaporize it, and then the high voltage AC coming in would turn the gas into the plasma state, creating pressure and only allowing the electrons to flow in one direction, thus forth giving you high voltage DC. And so I took that same concept, instead of having to build a regular bridge rectifier, you know, solid state version of it, I send the high voltage AC on both the positive and negative side of the lines there. One of the Finch charger, it has a symbol on there for you to connect it directly to ground. Instead, I ran two wires, one from the ground post on it, and one from the hot side of it, and then rectified that with the two fluorescent bulb starters. And if you can listen real quietly, you'll hear a little popping every so often going on. Can you hear that?
Starter in the bulb.
Yeah, that's the spark gap that's outside. It's an open air spark gap. You can't, but you can actually see plasma build up in the bulbs. There's two of them, like I said, one on the positive side and one on the negative side. And so, what this shows is that if you built a high voltage wind turbine, you can turn that high voltage into DC current right out of the gate by using two simple little bulb starters like this that will only allow the electrons to flow in one direction, because it when the high voltage AC pulses through there, it changes it into plasma and starts to pressurize that tube, and then all you need from then on out is to feed it into capacitor banks. So with this little idea, if you had access to multiples of these Finch chargers, and I will put pictures and everything in the video that I'm going to do today and get uploaded, so that everybody can see what exact brand I'm using. And like I said, it's only a 4.5 volt one, and there's a lot more powerful ones out there. And you could actually put a larger battery bank to where this thing would charge up during the daytime and run all night long charging capacitors. But either way, what you get out of it is real-time working voltage that you know, you're only using the sun to pick up. And with multiples of these, you can dump all these into, you know, the same capacitor if you wanted to, and charge it up even faster, or build you a series of capacitor banks and then dump all that load into another one, and basically add it up, if you understand what I'm saying. But I'm really excited about it, and can't wait to get the video out. Like I said, you know, I've been saying this forever and a day, that you can use, you know, just voltage alone to get work out of it. And it's just about how you're going to manipulate things, or, you know, modify existing equipment, that kind of stuff. But with capacitors, it's more realistic for the average Joe to be able to build a capacitor bank and start collecting, you know, the voltage that way and storing it and using it real time. I don't know if you know about a whole lot about capacitors, but I've got an 800 microfarad capacitor over here that will literally blow your finger off your hand if you accidentally touch it. When I short that thing out after running my coils over here, I've welded my screwdriver to it. So that's a lot of power.
Well, honestly, when you talk about voltage and not needing the amperage, I guess the best way to describe having the high voltage to get work out of next to no amperage would be like comparing, say, you know, a piece of hay and walking up to it at your low voltage and trying to push that into a telephone pole, as opposed to like a tornado whipping that piece at the hay and shoving it all the way through a tree trunk or a telephone pole.
Yeah.
Because it's basically under that extreme speed, which is what the voltage is. So it gives it a lot more potential to do something than it does without it.
Well, I'm also working on what you can't talk too much about because it has to do with my gizmo that I'm wanting to to share with everybody. But I'm also working on if you understand how the electron is shook and loose, like the copper atom has an extra electron. There's like 29 electrons on a copper atom. And so when you use a magnetic field, essentially you're using brute force to shake that off of there, you know. And when you shake it off of there, it doesn't do nothing more than go to the next atom and bump the next electron off and trade places with it. You don't never really lose any material out of the copper through the process. It's just moving it around. So imagine if you could hit that copper atom at the right frequency and hit that electron at the right frequency to where you can still bump it off of there, but not have to use near the voltage that you would have to use, or, you know, whenever you're spinning a magnet, you know, you got to have some force behind there to spin that magnet to cross the lines of flux and shake that that electron loose. You follow me so far?
Yeah.
Kind of like, and I always keep saying this, the opera singer, you know, finding the residence. You hear residency a lot, you know, finding the residence of the actual electron itself to be able to move it, you know, by vibrating it without ripping it off with a huge strong magnetic field. If that makes any sense to you. So anyway, but in the meantime, here's a project that people can do right straight off the store shelf. You can go to Walmart, you can buy these little fluorescent bulb starters. There's like $2 and something for a pack of two of them. You take the aluminum casing off of them, clip off the little, it's not a capacitor, it's a, oh crud, what do they call them doggone things? They have them on old lawnmowers. You know what I'm talking about, don't
condenser.
You, buddy? Condenser. There you go. Ugh. You clip the little condenser off, and then essentially what you got is already a vacuum spark gap full of argon. When you hit that with high voltage, you'll notice that you get plasma buildup in there, and it doesn't take a whole lot of high voltage to actually get it energized to the state of plasma. You'll know it when you see it because it's going to be purple inside there. But you can get these fence chargers, you know, if you go to auctions and stuff like that, you can find them all day long for dirt. I got this one here for $2, you know. And essentially, only thing that I'm using it for is to get the high voltage. This is why I kept talking to Muddy about trying to figure out some plans to actually do a high voltage wind turbine, because...
Yeah.
The advantage of doing it like this is, you know, Muddy, when you talked about how you could short your wires across on your deal, and you could actually use the shorting of that to actually create a brake that would stop that windmill from spinning.
Right, you're extracting power, and it takes it from the mechanical.
Yeah. And so, with that said, you wouldn't have to worry about that portion of the deal slowing down that wind turbine, because you don't have a direct connection. It'd be down in the milliseconds or even micro milliseconds, but in between sparks, you're not actually connected to it. So you're not going to get that back EMF that everybody talks about. You see where I'm coming from?
Yeah.
And so you wouldn't have to worry about losses on that portion of the deal. But being that...
You're just taking a minute, duty cycle out of the whole cycle.
Yeah. And so you can charge up capacitor banks like they're going out of style with, solar circuits, all high-voltage solar circuits and wind circuits, and actually if you had a stream or a creek. See, whereas the regular generators take a lot more torque, because once you put them under a load, they start to bog down. This system right here won't do that. You can you can spin it as fast as you want, and even when it's under load, because it's not directly under load, it's actually leaping across the gap, and then the load actually comes from the capacitor bank itself. You see where I'm coming from?
Yeah.
There's no way for it to follow back. What do you guys think?
Sounds like an excellent idea.
Well, I'm going to
counter in. Well, you got your diodes. You got your diodes too. So I mean, you're not going to. I mean, it's not going to like sap from your motor anyway.
No.
As long as you still got your duty cycle, it's just still going to charge in pulses.
Yeah, and that's exactly what it's doing. It's charging in pulses. That's why I'm showing it the way that I'm showing it on this this solar powered Tesla coil that's going on right here. Is because you know, these are things that you can do right out of the gate in order to get real working voltage for the least amount of energy input as possible. It's easy to create high voltage. You can get one of those microwave geared motors out of the microwave turntable. Man, the first time I saw one of these on a YouTube video, I was like, oh, ain't no way he got that kind of shock out of one of those little motors. And so, by God, I turned around and I got me one of those motors, and I hooked a little pair of channel locks to that thing and held onto those wires and spun that sucker around. I about laid off in the floor. And I'm like, I guess he did. I stand corrected, or otherwise I'm sitting corrected, because I'm...
Were you holding the wires in your mouth?
No, I was holding them in my hand. I wouldn't know if I was holding them in my mouth. I probably wouldn't have had a mouth.
Did you still speak in tongues?
I bit my tongue. That counts.
Yeah, that's good enough.
But anyway, like I said, if there was an apocalyptic scenario and you needed to create some real-time voltage, and you could get a hold of, especially out around farms, you know, if you could get a hold of some fence chargers. They got some fence chargers out there that will lay a bull down. I mean, that's how powerful those things are.
Don't be on them things.
Yeah, and that's another thing. When you're working with this thing, make sure that you turn the switch off before you go to twist wires, because I found out the hard way, not once, but probably about 3 or 4 times during the process, that I kept forgetting to turn that switch off, and when it bites hard. And you take 4.5 volts, that's not going to give you a heck of a jolt, but surprise, yeah, it'll carry you up.
Yeah, and don't wear lipstick either.
So. It ain't no howdy do when he kisses you and throws you in the floor. But anyway, these are things that can be got right straight off the store shelf, and you can find there's so many different ways that you can make high voltage transformers that it's just mind boggling. And that coil, or that circuit, that the Slayer circuit that Ryan's got, I need to try to get a hold of Ryan and talk to him about running some experiments doing the same thing, because I believe that same circuit could get some really serious real-time voltage out of it. Any thoughts on the matter?
Heck, you can make it the high voltage multiplier with a lattice of diodes and capacitors, you know, in a triangle pattern across the lattice. Man, you can get it up to any voltage you want. It just takes longer for it to get there. And, I mean, using less amps and stuff. So you can get any voltage you really want. You
multiply your voltage without losing your amperage. So, but it does convert it from AC to DC. There's no way to basically just do a simple multiplication from AC to AC, so like transformers do.
Well, I like this one right here. I counted it out probably every four times it pulses adds 1 volt of electricity to it, and so you know it's pretty good. So this is just one of them by itself. Imagine if you had like 20 of these in line outside. And they were all pulsing into the same capacitor bank. And, you know, so it would sound like popcorn running in the background, you know, pop, 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 pop. But it would, you probably want to shield it from any TVs, otherwise you won't be able to watch TV very good because there'll be all kinds of little EMP pulses going across your
TV
screen.
Well, if we're in an apocalyptic situation, I don't think people are going to be too worried about watching TV.
They'll
be able to look out the door and see, The Walking Dead happening live, you know.
Yeah, and there's also one other good factor about this that we're talking about. I like the Walking Dead thing though, but I hope they don't come. I don't live too far from the cemetery, so if the Day of the Living Dead shows up, I think I'm screwed. So,
that's just it though. They say zombie. They don't say they have to be undead. We're in the zombie apocalypse now. It's called the iZombie apocalypse, you know?
Yeah.
They just haven't got desperate to start doing on our brains to keep their thumbs going, you know?
Well, if they eat my brains, they're going to get fat. Ah, ha, ha, ha.
You can do that same spark gap thing with a magnetic wheel and charge your capacitors the same way. And you can get that wheel going real fast.
Yeah. And Muddy was talking about, I think it was Muddy last time, we all been talking about them, those direct drive washing machine and dryer motors.
Oh, yeah, smart drives.
Oh, yeah, those things put out some incredible arcs on them things. Now, you imagine, if you'd have to obviously...
Like, they're built like ceiling fans.
Yeah, you'd have to obviously build a heavier argon-filled, gas chamber there, a gas chamber. Like these fluorescent bulb starters, I don't believe that they would hold up very long to one of those.
No.
But if you could, if you had somebody who could either blow glass or, you know, create a rectifier that way, you know, then you'd have it made, because the amount of voltage coming up out of that thing right there, you'd have real-time voltage, I guarantee it, without a doubt.
Right. Something I guess that should be pointed out is that you can make vacuum tubes for something like that by just putting, don't worry about what you're getting mixed in there in your argon.
Yeah.
If there's some oxygen in it, when you're making it, you run a wire in there with something that if you run some electricity through it, it heats up and burns off. And when it burns off, it'll basically it'll collect all that oxygen and make an oxide out of it, sucking it out of the argon environment, so you're left with nothing but argon.
Well, if you have an opportunity to even make a video of that, that's even like just kind of a graphic, little digital.
I don't need to make a video. I can tell you right now how to find out how that works. All you have to do is look up Getter technology for making vacuum tubes, because that's what that shiny silver coating on the inside of all those vacuum tubes is the Getter being burned off to suck all the oxygen out of there.
Pretty though.
So, if you know what you're doing, you could make mirrors that way pretty easily, too. Because essentially what you're doing is the same thing they do for the vapor deposition, where they basically just, they shoot a high voltage through like a little electrode made out of metal, and they let that turn into a gas and then drop onto a surface to make a mirror. Like those front surface mirrors where you look at it and there's no glass between you and the mirrored surface. These are for lasers and stuff. That's how they're making those. So,
cool.
I definitely want to build one of these days. So, most of the time they're using aluminum, but I mean, there's all kinds of stuff. The best mirrors I think would be ruthenium, I think it's called. It's only like $100 an ounce, and it's probably like almost 300 times rarer than gold.
Wow.
So yeah, like I'm sure as soon as people really catch on, they're going to realize just how valuable it is, and the general populace starts learning about it, because the internet is information, and it's also a spreading mechanism to spray information all over the globe.
And
so
I thought they were doing silver nitrate.
They do silver nitrate. I have some silver tin oxide plastic that's sputtered to deposition the same way to make a touch like a transparent surface. It's just tough, but it's way more, has much lower resistance. So, but
you know, what I was saying about the ruthenium is that I'm sure at some point people are going to catch on and realize, hey, this stuff is actually more valuable as far as its usefulness goes than gold, and it's much rarer than gold. I mean, you get components that have gold contacts on them in your computer, right?
Right.
And that's so that basically it doesn't oxidize and has a somewhat fairly good wear ratio, so you can plug in and unplug the things a few times and not wear them out. Well, gold doesn't cut it whenever they're sunning its face. If it needs to be a conductive surface that can withstand wearing and radiation and all kinds of abuse and damage, they use ruthenium. They skip the gold and use it. So if we really wanted the best equipment that we could possibly put together for our home systems, we wouldn't be using gold. There are much better sources and elements that we could be using. So, you know, if you got some money, if you're worried about the end of the world and you want to invest some money in something, I would be investing in rare earth metals and whatnot that are still cheap right now, as well as the technology and whatnot that you can, you know, scavenging around and getting that stuff together, like what Shaziz was talking about. Because the two combined together will be the powerhouse that will end up basically restarting civilization after it collapses. Or maybe we can do a better job this time, you know?
Hope so. What I'd like to see I'd like to see this this little idea right here spark off a whole bunch of tests, because I'm pretty convinced it's going to be pretty good, because there's a few other, you know, when I talked about how it sends out a little bit of EMP, you can hear it. I'm going to turn this radio on real quick, and you should be able to hear it every time it pulses. It's going to get obnoxious for a second, so bear with me. Can you hear that? You hear that pulse? Mm-hmm. All right, so it's sending a signal out that's not only hitting the radio there, but it also hits the monitor across the room, which is approximately at least 6 feet away from where it's actually pulsing. So that energy, I believe, could actually be recaptured to some extent using some coils.
Do you have a Gauss meter that you can read that with?
No, I wish I did.
You can get a...
You know what that would be useful for? Sorry, I want to get this out before I forget, because this is one of those ideas that sometimes it comes into my head and then just fleets away, and by the time I'm done listening to everybody else, I've completely lost it. The coils that you were talking about, capturing them with, if you connect those in place of the capacitors in the diode circuit that we were talking about earlier, would allow you to amplify the voltage using that. Because every single one of those coils is going to add its voltage it collects from that together in that diode ladder to create that massive surge of voltage at the end of the circuit.
Yeah, I like the way you think.
Yeah. Now, what were you saying, Larry?
Well, that's one of the things that multi-circuit coils are good for. But you can get a Gauss meter app for your funny phone. It's not real accurate, but it gives you an idea of what's happening.
Right.
I think you're sending a very high magnetic field across that as well.
Yeah, I believe so too. And I think that, you know, it essentially, if you go on eBay, you can actually look up or actually Google it or whatever. They did, they called them spark gap transmitters or something like that. Doggone, I know that ain't the right word for it. Marconi and them was doing it when they was trying to do wireless telegraph. And essentially, by sending that, making that, when that spark jumped across the gap, it was actually what sent the signal across. So it's wireless telegraph / radio or whatever, you know. Don't know. You really shouldn't have to worry about the FCC come apocalypse time, because I'm pretty sure they're not going to be running around getting people for cursing on their ham radios and stuff like that.
Yeah, they're going to be more worried about trying to rebuild the infrastructure for the old jalopy we've been driving around called U.S. Current government. We need to try to basically curtail that by upgrading the old original constitutional government, so that, you know, we got this nice slick bill for everybody to jump into, and they can avoid the jalopy that the presidents and the corrupt politicians and whatnot have been driving so far.
Yeah.
Our current government is shocking.
Yeah, well, they're driving on square wheels.
Yep.
No, well, the only reason those square wheels even go is because they've got them wrapped in babies, you know, to soften them up.
You can also...
Babies not born.
You can also build a simple transmitter just with a capacitor, a coil of wire, and a battery, because every time that capacitor discharges, it sends a signal through that a doggone antenna. So if you wanted to put like a homing beacon out somewhere so somebody could find you or whatever, you could make a really simple transmitter that could be picked up on any radio.
Yeah. Well, heck, a rotating spark gap transmitter can't go to pick it up on all radios.
Yeah.
But they got things filtered now where they got to narrow the bandwidth of a transmission so that they can have several transmissions within a bandwidth.
Right.
Yeah, they filter it all down. I mean, matter of fact, some people take the CB radios and they go ahead and spread a couple of the coils to make it resonate a little higher. Then change the frequencies of the oscillator and bring it up there. And they come to find out when they get up into the ham bands, basically they're not good enough. They don't have enough filtering. They don't like, you know, they don't like that. But then you take a ham radio, and then you're going to sit there and you're going to go off for these commercial communications, and it's the same story all over again. The commercial transmitters for widespread commercial radio and broadcast, they have a lot more filtering. But then the only problem is they're all trying to make sure that, radio transmission only goes so far, and then the next one in the next cell area, as you're driving along, all of a sudden you're listening to one station, and then you're listening to the next one. Well, these guys try to bring up their modulation a little high to make sure that, you know, they can still hear you over them. And then you start getting sporadic emissions and splatter, and the filter really doesn't do no good because the modulation's up so high there's no carrier left.
Well, either way, I took all these basic ideas, such as what we're talking about right now, and threw little bitty nuggets out there for everybody to kind of get an idea of what things are doing, such as, you know, how thermoelectrics works and how the little rectifier tubes that I'm talking about and so on and so forth. All these things together make pieces of a puzzle. And this is what I've been trying to get across to the alternative energy community out there. These little anomalies that they get for different devices, if they were to take these things and use these all in conjunction, they could build their holy grail of free energy, you know. Everybody keeps...
Actually, there's somebody that's kind of pushing forward in one of those anomalies now. You mentioned somewhere around there about the water, salt, and whatnot.
Yeah.
And if you look at Robert Murray Smith's videos, you can see he's ahead. It's a terrible name for it, but he's calling it a swag generator, which essentially stands for salt water. I think it's an alternative graphene generator or something like that. But he basically what he's doing is taking, you know, graphite dug out of the ground, and he pulses power in. I mean, there's a whole bunch of ways you can do this, but one of the ways was, you know, you throw it in some acid and hook an electrode up on it and an electrode on something else on the other side and pulse it back and forth, and it'll flake off the graphite into little tiny thin flakes of graphene. And then you can mix that up into paint after you filter it and wash off all the acid and whatnot with some water, and paint that onto a metal surface. And then anytime salt water moves back and forth over it, it generates some pretty good voltage and a pretty good amperage off of it. And it's not wearing it out. It's, you know, you can just keep using it and using it and using it, you know?
Yeah, it drags the electrons one direction right along with it, and one end gets a high charge, the other end gets the low charge.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty cool. So, no coil.
This is stuff that, like, you know, I'm sure there are some graphene veins over there where you guys are at, and even if there aren't, you can make graphite pretty easily. You can make the carbon that the graphite is made out of by just, you know, over your campfire, hold something. Type over top of that so that you get that soot build up and use that soot, you know? I mean, there's just so many opportunities. We need a place to compile all this information, too, for that kind of apocalyptic idea that you were mentioning earlier, which is We need a cookbook of, you know, how to restart a civilization, you know.
Yeah, we need that very, very bad. You know, the cool thing is I've been, I got glass on the front of my wood stove. And that soot gets on there, and I scrape it off, and I catch it. I've been collecting it. I mean, I got quite a bit of it, and it sparkles. So it's like a crystalline. I said, man, this is cool. It's got to be worth something. So I've been collecting it, and I had no idea what I was collecting. I was just soot.
Ted, so, test it with a multi-tester. I guarantee you, if you test that with a multi-tester, you're going to find a nice low resistance running across that when you press the two ends down into that that black powder.
Oh, I'm pretty sure. And I haven't done that yet. When I know it's hard as heck to get it off your fingers, though.
Yeah. Well, I was going to say, if you mix it into something like a paint base or a glue base or something like that, just you mix enough of it in there so it's so dense, then it becomes a conductor, you know?
What would you guys think of trying to put together an energy summit to where we all meet in the middle somewhere and actually put together something such as an information book, a cookbook, so to speak, of all different types of alternative energy methods and such?
Definitely. I think we should definitely do that. I was thinking earlier maybe we should start having, thinkers meetings where we just get together on Skype and sit down and talk. Don't worry about, you know, being on a specific time or another. We pick our time each week and just get together and discuss things, and we can always pick through that too later for the actual radio shows. But, you know, maybe put a broad podcast up from our discussions too.
That would be good deal.
Make it all publicly available.
That would be a good deal. And I also heard you guys earlier in the other deal. I don't want to go too in depth in it because we only got like 45 minutes left because of all the crashes, which makes me mad. But anyway, I heard you guys talking about the patenting process. There is one other thing in there that a person can do for temporary. It's called a common law copyright. I found out about this years ago, where essentially you put your design, and you have some friends sign it, you have it notarized, put it in an envelope, and then you send it off to yourself in the mail. As long as you do not open that until you're in front of a judge and the judge himself opens that up, you can prove the time and date because it has a government stamp on the deal that says it came through the postal service at this time.
I was going to say something about that earlier. It's basically the concept. I did that with a book that I didn't have the money to get copywritten right away, so I just packed it up in a box after going and having someone notarize, you know, in a notary republic, having them stamp a seal and sign a thing after looking at it. I had some brown tape put all the way around the box, too, so it couldn't be opened without breaking the brown tape, and had them stamp the brown tape whenever they mailed it off.
Right.
So you knew it couldn't have been removed, but I like literally positioned the overlap so the stamp fell right on that with the date and the time that it was shipped off.
And no matter what, don't open it. No matter whether you think you forgot something or whatever, you know, once it's in that package.
I had a friend did that. She's like, oh, what's this? You haven't opened this.
Oh, man.
Good thing I already got my copyright on that. It was just, you know, for some artwork, so someone wasn't trying to basically hijack my artwork and block me from using it.
Anyway, that's just a throw it out there kind of thing, because I think that one of the things that would benefit us is if we could all get together and create at least one, you know, device that it doesn't matter, doesn't even have to be alternative energy related, just a useful thing that we can use to put out there on the market and sell to fund all of our research and stuff, you know. Because, you know, I don't look down on anybody who wants to have people donate to them, but I would rather just not have people donate in case something went wrong or whatever, you know, that I don't want to waste nobody's money and that kind of stuff. But
like scorn, you don't want scorn. Yeah.
You get money basically for giving something to them instead of just, you know, passing it to people. When you ask for donations, that kind of almost starts feeling too much like the same effect you get from con men, you know, because that's all they're doing is they're basically selling words.
Well, and I did
look the goods, you know.
I did run a little fundraiser here recently for my uncle to get his training. He did get his training, by the way. Everything worked out, but
you beat me my little bit of money I was going to try to donate.
Well, I appreciate it. I appreciate the love that came from everybody on that deal. You know, not everybody was capable of helping out, and my fundraiser didn't succeed, but I think part of the problem why it didn't succeed was because that there's so many con men out there trying to get people, and I normally don't do that kind of stuff, you know, but this was something that was such a big deal to me because my uncle, he's getting up there in his years. And
yeah, listen, man, I after hearing your story and everything, I don't really think it had anything to do with con men.
Right.
I think we'll know you well enough.
It didn't even look like
that. You were more than able to rise above all that. So, you know, I think it was just you caught people in a time when they didn't have it to help.
Yeah.
And it didn't run long enough. They didn't have enough time to pull themselves together. So,
at the end of the month, it's not the time to try something because people are waiting for that first of the month for the check. You learn that in taxi cab and any business that runs off of cash. You'll find out real quick
an ongoing fundraiser for however and whoever was responsible for making that happen and help, you know, kind of give back a little bit of whatever it is that they basically gave in.
And
they can just pass it forward if they want, you know.
I wanted that electron.
They don't want it.
It's still up for sale, and if that gets sold, that all those proceeds are going to go to the same cause to do exactly what you said, but...
Either way,
it'll work out. But anyway, back to the old mad science there. I mean, I appreciate everybody, and I know, I understand everybody's position because people, you know, everyone's hurting these days, and it may maybe not seem like that big of a deal to the world out there with all the things that are going on in the world, but like I said, my uncle, he's getting up here in his age, and I'm not sure how much longer he'll actually be around, and if I can just fulfill that one dream for him, and it was a timing issue as far as finances go and all that kind of stuff, so that's why I did the fundraiser. You know, it didn't go so well, but that's okay, because I was showing a bunch of love, man.
You don't have to apologize for what you've done. You did something awesome. So
I was worried more about it. The way I saw it,
the fundraiser, you were giving people an opportunity to be a part of something that was truly profound when it comes to, you know, empathy and caring about each other. I mean, you know, you weren't doing anything wrong whatsoever. You're doing actually something incredibly great. So, you know. I just kind of feel like maybe you're feeling like people, you know, feel that way about it. I don't understand how anybody could think that.
You guys know me. I'm not about doing anybody wrong in any way. And I do this show and I do the Knights of the Round Table because I feel like that if more people got out and they just tried, you know, the dream was realized because people came together, you know, and I believe that we could do the same thing, you know. Maybe we can't fix the world overnight, but we can make little differences that will move us towards that goal, if you know what I'm saying.
Right. Yep. Yeah. Start locally and work toward globally.
Yeah.
But I still think you jumped off the fundraiser a little early there, kind of, you know.
Yeah, if he had let it run a little longer, like probably about another day or two, I would have been.
You
got to
give it time for word to get out. You got to give it time for word to get out.
Well, yeah. I understand what you're saying. It was just number one. I always feel bad if I'm reaching out and asking for help like that. But you know, I just things were going on. But behind the scenes, there was a lot of work going on. A lot of people was involved to make this thing happen. And it actually surprised me, you know. It happened, you know, whenever I thought it was all going to, you know, be just me alone working the deal. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm glad it worked out. I mean, that's...
Yeah, the smile on his face.
Understand.
For those who haven't
exactly
seen it yet, there's a link on... where did I put it? Doggone it. Well...
I'm just glad for my little situation. I didn't want to ask anybody for anything. My shop was like 4 months behind in the deal, and the guy hadn't put the second lock on it, but I hadn't had time to get down there because I've been trying to bust my tail to go ahead and make the money to pay it off, because I don't want to go in there and start working in the shop and all that. But the cool thing was, because of the rains, man, the grass has been growing. And I put a few signs out, and the phone's been going. You've known for the last few weeks I've been busting on the lawns. And I raised all of that and caught up on the bills. My wife helped out. Oh, shoot, man, it's been great. I'm going to be resuming my videos and all that kind of good stuff. I don't like asking anybody for anything. Although I've had some people just drop me out of the clear blue good amounts of money. And you sit there, the first time my wife, a guy said, I don't want any thanks. He said, give the thanks to Jesus, but don't tell anybody where the money came from, and it's yours. I like what you do. And it bored me. My wife opened it up and looked at the check, and she was in tears. And I tell you what, man, when it comes to what you do out there, some people will sit there and look at your video, people that have never even made a video, that want to be trolls and sit there and talk. Well, I don't like the green letters, much less scrolling green letters. If it wasn't for that, I'd love the video and blah, 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 you know. And you want to chew these people out. And after a bit, it eats on you, and you say, Duncan, what am I doing this for? But then you find out there's some guy in South Africa, you know, who walked 20 miles to the library. He used the computer to thank me for showing him how to make a ceiling fan wind turbine. And he made the first electricity in his neighborhood. And I believe
what you're, the point of the story is to focus on the good, just ignore all the bad.
I mean, I cried. And then, like a week later, I don't know how he got the pictures, but he sent pictures of this thing. And it was the rattiest looking thing I ever saw. And I looked at it and I said, beautiful. I mean, the blades were flat boards that looked like the pieces of it were missing. I guess they were able to make holes and baling wire this thing together. But it turned and it worked and they had electricity.
I put it
made me cry all over again. And from that day I said, no, I will never drop teaching.
It hurts me when
I don't get to it. I'm sorry, I'm being a blabbermouth, but you know, I mean, that floors me. Don't never ever think that you're not appreciated. If your heart's in it and you're doing something for people, don't never think that you're not appreciated. Somewhere out there, somebody is, you know, bending their knee and looking up and saying, oh, thank God.
I agree, brother. I put a link in the Skype here, and I also put the link into both chat rooms on Shaziz and Awake Radio. But if you're not on ShazizRadio.com right now, you could actually go on Shaziz Radio, and you can use the little search box up there in the corner and type in My Uncle Lee, all one word, and it'll come up with a link, and that has the update of that deal that I put on there.
That's a beautiful train.
Yeah, it's pretty neat. And you see the smile on his face, that was worth all the gold in the world, man.
Looked like that guy in the shorts sitting next to him, like he was... He was just like, yeah, well, boy, I did the right thing. I'm glad. He didn't look proud. He looked like he was happy he did.
Jim is a wonderful, good-hearted guy. I know you guys would like him. He's on that mancave.com or mancave, I don't know, it's garage sale thing. I can't remember the name of the link. But either way.
Is he listening?
He might be. If you are, Jim, thanks a lot for everything, brother.
Okay, everybody, all together. Three cheers for Jim.
Yay! Cheers. Hip, hip, hooray!
Love you, bro.
But, yeah, there's an update on there. He got the train, and I'm telling you what, man. The people that helped out, and even the ones who weren't able to help out financially but threw a good word in out there, you know, I love all you guys, man. That's just so cool. But that's what makes it
really
good. Thanks
for letting me do the show last week. Man, we had a ball. And I put your thing through Audacity, and because it was joined with mine, and I trimmed it and took out a couple little dead air spaces and stuck in there, and it's perfect 2 hours long. So
cool.
I'll send that to you after the show so you can download it without messing up the broadcast.
Yeah, I got to do. I'm going to be running a podcast for Beverly because she's out volunteering her time at the Hope Center today. So.
Don't disappear after that. Then just go ahead and
yeah, I'll be around. I'll be around. I got a lot to try to catch up on. But anyway, back to the whole mad science thing. This newest video that I hope to get up today. I'm positive I'll get it up today. It might be later on this afternoon, but I will get it up so people can see what it is that I'm talking about. But it's essentially an easy way to get real-time working energy out of high voltage. And that's the reason why I wanted that design of that high-voltage wind turbine, because I know using this particular system, I can change that high-voltage AC into DC current and charge a large capacitor bank. The larger the bank, the better, and you know where you can go to from there. Just don't put your finger on it. That's common sense.
That reminds me, for those people that don't have money in experimenting with atmospheric motors, static motors and all that kind of stuff, if you ain't got a high voltage power supply, and don't be like tearing your TV up. I pulled a joke on a guy who did me wrong. I walked by his tube-type television set, and I laid a piece of aluminum foil right across the screen. And by the time he reached out to pull it off, it like to knock him across the room. So, if you want to turn the TV off and wait for the aluminum foil to drop off. But if you put a piece of wire to it and then put it on there, it'll run it as long as you go, and then you can turn your TV off, and that thing will run for a while. That's just a cheap way of not having to destroy something to get your high voltage.
Yeah.
For those of you who still have tube TVs, you need a CRT glass tube TV, though, to make that work.
Yeah, the old glass tube, glass picture tube TVs.
TVs from the 20th century, not the 21st century.
Yeah, well, I'm a firm believer that, people should hold on to those anyway, because, I got a feeling that there's going to be a few TV stations on broadcasting on analog popping up one day.
Got a bunch of them.
And so, with that said, I also did a video, homemade oscilloscope.
Yes, I was about to mention that.
Not super high-tech, but it works.
It got my.
I was going to say, actually, I'm looking for a large tube TV that doesn't work anymore, just so I can. The front and the back of those things are usually like kind of glued together, and with like some sort of epoxy or something like that. Kind of the same stuff they basically stick in the back of those glass bulbs to hold the filament in. And it's not hard to dig that stuff out with something that's just hard and got a little bit of sharpness to it. So one of these days I'd like to. I think it would, I'll basically put a video out on how to basically make a bell jar out of one of those. I don't know if you're familiar with what a bell jar is, but, they use it for making really high, or I should say really low atmospheric pressure vacuum chambers for doing work inside of it.
I hadn't really thought about this or not, but what kind of gas do they actually have in those old TV tubes? Do you know?
I'm not really sure. I think actually most of the gas is removed, because then gas particles in there will interfere with the electrons trying to shoot across that gap to hit the screen.
It's
vacuum. There's nothing in those. That's simply an ion projector.
Something's going on in there, because if you turn your lights off and you look over at your TV, your lights energize that thing, and there's actually some residual light
that's the coating. That's the coating. Whenever it gets hit by photons, it lights up for a little while. It glows. That's why you get ghosts on there too sometimes. Like after you turn the TV off, it'll still have an image on there for a little bit.
Yeah, you take a while to go off.
Yep.
So I learned
and
something there.
That's some useful material there. I mean, you can
phosphor and radium.
Carefully open it. You can probably remove that pretty easily to use for other projects. So
phosphor and radium, I think. And
right.
If you need something to make the vacuum, like you were talking about your vacuum bell jar, you got an old refrigerator, it doesn't work anymore, just take that compressor out, don't get any of the oils on you, wash off real good, use gloves or whatever, but one side pumps air out, and one side puts a vacuum on it, and they're very quiet. They'll go up to 200 pounds plus, so just... I think it takes in one of those propane cylinders that I use as an air tank. It takes about 5 minutes to get up to around 50 pounds, and you wait probably about three more minutes, and you're close to 80 pounds. So I mean, it just keeps climbing. It don't even slow down, but it's very quiet. You can forget that you got it on.
But you get something like that set up with like a seal on the bottom, and you can lay something in there with an electrode running to it. You know, like even a piece of glass, you can literally hook up an electrode on the other side. It's made out of gold, silver, aluminum, steel, whatever, and just phosphorus even, and just pull that stuff as a gas over the surface of that using that high voltage that you've been talking about.
Well, any
that's a big small electronics right there. That's how they make them, you know.
Any idea that would be basically, if I could ever get a hold of me a argon version of the mercury arc rectifier, I'd be the happiest camper on this planet.
You just need a schematic on how the mercury rectifier is made, and I'm sure we can build one.
Well, it's really simple. If you think about two, you know, it's got two anodes and two cathodes. At the bottom of it, there's two basically probes that go inside there. The pool of mercury sets right on those two probes. When you send the high voltage AC in there, it heats the mercury up. Now, you wouldn't even need the mercury in there at all. All you need to do is have those two probes in there and it vacuum down with argon gas inside there. And then you have two probes that go out. It's as simple as that. So you put.
Doesn't sound like it'd be that hard to build then, because I mean you can get argon gas at the welding supply.
Yeah, I've got argon gas.
You don't even need it vacuumed down. You could literally just hook that up to the container, have an opening on the other side that you can seal up permanently with some epoxy or whatever, and just pump it full of the argon. It'll push all the other gas out and then seal it up. While you still got a pressure on it, and shut the valve off and seal it up too.
Yeah, I never thought of that.
Study on one of my old handbooks on the vacuum tube rectifier. I think it's a different metal on the anode as well, and a special gas. And I know it's a different gas than the other tubes.
Well, go look up the mercury arc rectifier, and you'll see it looks like an octopus is what it looks like, a glass octopus. And I know that photo induction, I think he's over in the UK, I believe. I know he's got one, and I've been trying to figure out where he got his at, but they're rare and hard to find. But if I could get a hold of one of those.
Yeah, so you need to get one then, I guess, or to get some photos of it so we can see for sure what they look like, and we'll go from there.
Yeah.
So, that squid shape you're talking about kind of reminds me, as a child, first hearing about robots, the thought that I had was a big glass bubble with a bunch of little electrodes sticking into it, all running to different sensors, and a bead of mercury rolling around in there so it could have, you know, a way to balance itself.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about. I thought the same thing, man. That's pretty cool. It'd be a stabilizer that whatever two sides it was hitting on, and then in the middle would shut everything down, and if it like tilted to the right, it would push it back to the left, and so on and so forth.
Let it know what it's doing. Civilization is kind of hard to maintain without slaves. Right now, we operate on wage slaves, you know, and slavery of, you know, unborn babies. It would be really nice to move off of all of that and onto just, you know, robots that basically, you know, they're just machines. Well, not advanced to where they actually have sentience or thought, you know.
Yeah, we don't need artificial intelligence.
What we need to do...
Well, I mean, we can have that, but don't incorporate that into machines that supports your civilization so that people don't have... So they can have more time to dream and experience, you know, interconnectivity with each other and care about each other more instead of, you know, constantly struggling behind the grindstone trying to keep from getting squashed by it, you know?
Yeah, and forget the rat brain cells integrated with circuitry.
What we need is charter a 3-hour tour like Gilligan's Island and get lost on a deserted island with a bunch of supplies.
That would work, because there'd be no movie star or anything. It'd just be a bunch of professors.
Don't
marry him.
Wait a minute. If Marianne's not going to be there, I ain't going.
Well, can't you smuggle Marianne in?
Just bring a lovey with you.
I suppose we could. If we really dig hard, we could find a few of those women out there that have actually, you know, fought the fear of being, you know, ridiculed for being brainy and actually doing something with themselves.
Yeah, genius women.
We should teach them to wind coils.
Well, either that or just dig around and find the ones that weren't, they weren't adventurous enough, and, you know, get them around some people who will actually encourage them to use the brain they have instead of discourage it, you know.
Do you guys remember the Biodome?
We got to figure a way to make the satellite crash.
Do you guys remember the Biodome?
Yeah.
Which one? They bought a bunch of them.
Well, I don't know. I know they used to have this deal on there where they put all these people out in this biodome and they had to survive in it, and I guess they didn't get along so well or whatever. I think what would be a really good reality TV show is to put a bunch of brilliant people on the island with a bunch of junk. I mean, just flat out junk. Copper wire and old refrigerators and TVs and, you know, kind of like a combination of Junkyard War and Biodome there, where you had to build you a society with just the junk that you had available.
You're describing what I said about the clone, survival colony edition, where basically you take two groups of people and drop them in different hostile environments. Like one might be, you know, deep in the jungle, and the other one like out in the desert. It's awarded according to their technological advances that improve their society and make their lives easier. The longer they're there, every day they're there, they get so much money they win, and then for technological achievements, you vote through the internet and say, hey, that we like this one better than the other one, so they end up getting like a prize for that that gets divided among the people that are in that particular colony.
Two things on there. First off, does it have to be a hostile environment?
Well, hostile as in, like, it's, you know, I consider anything that's not urban.
Yeah.
Hostile. Anything that's not easy to live in.
I'm just saying that because I'm getting so
utterly hostile when you're out on Mars or something. No idea. And then the other thing is include the dropship.
I'm just saying because I'm getting
wherever they start, they've got a dropship that basically crash-landed with them and has some technology for them to kind of kickstart off of. But they've got to figure out how to use what they've got and the surrounding environment. So you don't even have junk. All you have is some technology that you accidentally ended up with because of the crash land, and then the raw resources in nature.
Well, I like the idea. How do we get on the show? We all go together as a team, man.
That's just it. We don't get on the show. There is no show. We need to make the show.
Oh, cool.
And if we make the show, then guess what? We get to decide who gets to go.
Yeah.
At least first.
Yeah.
We're looking for a compound out in the middle of nowhere that we can power with our equipment just to prove that it works.
Well, I got
have tools.
I got 4 acres of land right now, fixing to buy another possible 7 acres, and so I have plenty of land. We could do it right here if you wanted. But we all need to, like, get on Junkyard Wars together or something and win the prize and use that money.
Right.
Man, we'd
advertise our idea there.
We would smoke them on Junkyard Wars.
maybe that would be something that would be worth doing, an Indiegogo fundraiser, too.
Yeah.
Everybody get together, put a video together, taking something that's essentially just junk, or that's a natural resource, and converting it into a useful resource, like, what I was talking about, of turning magnesium sulfate, which is heavily available in all ocean water. There's tons and tons of it in ocean water. And cracking that to make sulfuric acid and raw magnesium, which are two primary components for making a battery cell.
Well, there you go, man.
A hole punch is all it takes to take a sheet of junk metal and turn it into like a wrench, you know?
The first day on the island, we're going to have electricity, brother.
Oh, yeah, Lord Kelvin's generator is the first thing.
Yep.
That's the quickest one. You don't even need a magnet or a coil. But then you can make magnets. If you can make a big enough capacitance.
Hey, Shazis?
Yeah.
You were talking about the man cave garage sale thing?
Yeah,
find that? Is that the one?
Yeah, that's it.
Okay. So I guess we can post that over in the actual Knights of the Round Table.
Yeah.
So people can find it.
Yeah, Jim, he goes on there once in a while, sells off a few things. So if anybody can support him, they want something that he's got, you know, that would be great. Because I'm going to tell you what, that is one good-hearted soul, man. You know,
use white TV to do this.
Yeah, we could do that too. We could do a, we could run a show on there if everybody don't mind. That'd be good.
Yeah,
absolutely. Well, I don't know. I don't want to speak for them.
Well, you know, this is what
I don't have a problem.
This is the kind of stories that makes the world go around, because you know we talk about this on the Knights of the Round Table all the time. You know, all the world, all they ever hear is negativity. You know, some positive stories like this, you know, look what can be accomplished when a small group of individuals comes together. So imagine what we could do as a joint effort, you know. We're talking to people from all different nations, and, you know, just the little things, they do matter, man. It is a big deal when you get that many people together trying to, you know, just to fulfill a small dream of an individual out there who's feeling down. You know, we uplifted a spirit, and to me, that's worth its weight in more than gold, man.
Yep. Yeah, I was going to say, dude, gold, let's stop comparing things to gold. Gold is pretty much useless. It's got like two actual uses in industry, and the rest is all, it's pretty.
Well, I just use that as a...
I like great things that look 1,000 times better, like, you know, the bismuth crystals. I'd take a bismuth crystal over a hunk of yellow, you know, ring any day.
Well, I just use that as a a generalization, because, you know, everyone out there in the world has pretty much been indoctrinated to believe that they got to build themselves
6,000 years of indoctrination, exactly.
Yeah, they got to build themselves a stairway to heaven with all the gold and silver they can get on. But you know what? The best gold and silver is the guy sitting here right here on this panel right here while we're talking about, you know, trying to give the world alternative energy, free energy, you know. And there's a big misnomer out there that I keep trying to correct everybody on about the difference between zero point and free energy and all that kind of stuff out there. You know, folks just get it all wrong. If you can't find free energy, you're simply not looking hard enough for it. Now, is it enough as it stands to run your inefficient appliances out there? No, not without a few modifications and not without putting you know, a few pieces of the puzzle together. So, you know, when I talk about free energy, I'm talking about everything that nature has provided for you. You're floating in a sea of energy. Your body is energy. Everything around you has energy potential. And tapping into that without harming the environment is what everybody's been crying about they want to do. But yet, here we are. We're still having this conversation, you know. But we're as far as I'm concerned, we're many steps ahead, you know, because of what we've been doing here. What do you guys think?
Like I've been saying all along, it's all about organization. There's a whole ocean packed with energy all around us, and it's constantly being filled until it spills over by the sun.
Yeah.
But it's got to be organized. All you need is a simple device to organize it, nothing more.
And
I think that if we actually sit down and put our heads together, we don't even have to actually be there. If you start on an island, it doesn't have any tools, doesn't have anything. It's just the island. And you got salt water around you. And we put our heads together, what would we do on the first day? And if we sit there and figure out that the first day and we write down our accomplishments, the next show we'll go for the second day.
Yeah.
See what we can figure out and how far and how fast we can actually get there.
Man, I'll tell you what, we'll be flying around hovercrafts before it's all over.
As long as nobody knows we're there, man.
Yeah.
They find out you're there. With that new technology, they'll have to come and bomb us out of existence.
Oh, yeah, that's it. We get droned.
I know we can use the wind.
We get droned, wouldn't we?
Yeah. Yeah, they don't like it whenever people start pointing out the cart of apples they have is all full of worms.
Yeah.
The best way to do that is to show up with a cart of apples that are still brand new and, you know, fresh and shiny and ripe, you know? So.
Well, this little idea here that I got going on for this this next little video, I hope everybody passes it around and pays real close attention to what's going on there, because, like I said before, I've said millions of times, you can make high voltage really easy, but to get up to the amps and the current and the watts and it takes to run all the inefficient junk you got laying around you, that's a little bit more involved there. And the get around to that is to be able to store that energy in a manner by which you can use it real time, and capacitors will do that. And some of the modern day capacitors that they got are incredible, as fast as they charge and discharge, the super caps and boost caps that they've got out there. And so if this was used and built upon this little simple idea right here, then you could have your holy grail of free energy right out of the gate. All right, and it's as simple as that. And it's taking things that are already available that you can use, that you're just essentially taking the high voltage, you're rectifying the high voltage AC into high voltage DC, you're pulsing capacitor bank and charging it up. And like I said before, you got an 800 microfarad capacitor fully charged, it has enough energy to blow your finger completely off your hand. And I don't ever say to try to test the theory, but that's a fact. What do you guys think?
Well, we were all sitting there running off all that first thing. The first thing we'd sit there and think about on the island, I think, would be take inventory. Larry was there. He said, find water, build fire.
Yeah.
I said, salt water for the magnesium and all that. Wind, sand, which is silica. And fire, yep, like he said, you can do that with sticks. Silicon coil casting, there's the next step. Make your own bowl caps, or from there you can do your Lord Kelvin generator, a good start. Bamboo bowls, coconuts, and we have Larry and Thomas.
I think the first thing you need to do is allocate who's going to work on the technological advancement, who actually wants to go find the drinking water and the food. That way you can continue work, because, I mean, it's kind of hard to keep working on technology when you're starving to death or dying of thirst.
Right.
Well, an island, you'd have a cornucopia right there, you know.
Yeah, I'm a woods boy, and I've got a lot of wood skills. So I would go out into the forest.
I'd be making a draw knife out of some stone, man, and some leaves, and say some bamboo, find some vine. There's your first blade for your windmill. And let it grind up the grain that you can find. You know, I figure within a day or two we'll have bread.
Well, there you go, man. And you know, if people really take to heart what we're saying on here, this is proof positive. Well, you pay a little attention in science class and get out there and do some research, that if the apocalypse comes around, so what? You move on and build a better society, you know? Don't stress over the little stuff. You know.
Hey, here's the thing that I have to say about the apocalypse. All I can say is when it does happen, I hope that it is because our society failed and not because of something else outside of society, like, you know, some sort of invasive species or something like that, you know, that evolved, say, in South America and got moved to America and then spread across Europe or something like that. Because, I mean, if it's society that failed, then you have every right to completely restructure it, and no one can ignore that, you know. So, and it needs done. I mean, it's definitely a sorbing and a cleaning that needs to be done and has been needing to be done for over 100 years. So,
when the collapse happens, the people with the knowledge like us are going to be like gods, and everybody else is going to be like cavemen.
Yeah, but they'll stone the gods because they don't want to listen. That's my experience.
Well, no, I see you missed the thing. If you say, "I am like a god because I have knowledge," you get stoned. If you have the shrub go, "Hey, man, I got something to help you out," then you're like, "Oh, hey, come on in, buddy."
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. I'm thinking maybe we ought to just stick to, you know, pointing out the good things so we don't get rocks thrown at us.
Don't say I am, or basically just don't let them know you're smart and keep saving the day here and there. Then you're all right.
Anyway,
just don't hold it over there.
You guys, we're coming down to the wire there, and man, once again, it's been a fascinating show, and I hope everybody can show up for the Knights of the Round Table, who's available tomorrow, because tomorrow is the 100th show. 100, yay, hooray.
Wow, we need a rectangle table, a long one.
And so I hope that everybody can show up, and if possible, I hope I can find some of the old knights from back when the Knights of the Round Table first started and get them all to come into the show. I got some folks behind the scenes trying to work out some bugs and get that going on, but...
I got something I got to tell you, okay? I talked with Simply Steve, And he went, as we know, he went over to Singapore to build these vertical gardens to help feed everybody on the sides of the buildings. And things went okay, but then he got sick. He got real sick. Something worse than the swine. So far he's had to sell the car, the van, and auctioning off the house. But he got enough beer. He's got a piece up on top building, and it's surrounded with lightning rods. And they get electrical storms there frequently. So he's trying to look for a way to harness all that.
Well, we can help him with that.
There's all the needs of one man that we can probably help him.
We can help him with that, because this video that I'm fixing to put out there will show how to actually do that and get usable energy out of that deal. There's actually a static charge built up right before the actual lightning. I don't know if you've ever noticed it. If you're ever too close to a lightning strike, you'll notice it, because the hair on the back of your neck will stand up.
Yeah, as it builds the pathway, it's ionizing, and then it connects the rest of the way somewhere between.
I don't have time to explain all that in detail because we're running short, but either way, the Knights of the Round Table is, tomorrow's the 100th show, and so if everybody want to tell all their friends, come join in, and I think it'll be a good show. It usually is anyway. But I'll try to get that video up, and just...
What number is this show?
This one right here?
Yeah.
I don't know.
This might be... When did you start the Mad Science?
Did you start at the same time? No, the Knights came several months after Mad Science.
Wow.
We already blew right past
that. Oh, yeah. We missed the 100th show on this one.
we'll hit the 200th one.
Yeah, we'll make up for it on the 200th show. But anyway, like I said, we're running low on time. Thanks again, guys, and people out there listening in. Use some of this knowledge and stay tuned and actually go out there and do a little bit of research. And I hope this video that I'm going to put up this afternoon, it might be really late this afternoon, but it will be up there before I go to sleep.
If you use some of this knowledge, you're out there listening and whatnot, come back and give us a report. Let us know how well it went.
Yeah.
I mean, even if you didn't do too well, let us know. And maybe we can look at it and see why, too, so we can put that in our details. I mean, any stumbling block you run across helps everyone else to avoid running over it, as well as getting everybody to help you figure out how to get around that stumbling block.
We'd love a challenge to analyze and figure out.
Exactly.
Right. Well, and if you succeed, I mean, there's nothing propagates an idea better than it showing that it's actually valuable and useful,
Absolutely.
Yeah, I'm really excited about this one, and I don't know how exciting of a video it'll end up being, but I hope my explanation is good enough that everybody will understand.
It's exciting, but not too exciting.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. I've caught a few lightning bolts, believe me, but not as bad as Ryan. Ryan caught one to the eye.
Yeah, sure.
Anyway, with that said, peace and love, everybody. Thanks again. Don't have time to go around the table this go. I'm going to throw an uplifting song that I think is uplifting anyway. And roll us up out of here, and there'll be a Hope Show podcast coming on right after the show. So with that said, everybody, stay tuned for the Knights of the Round Table coming tomorrow, number 100. And if you're one of the Knights out there listening in from the old days, we sure would love to have you at the table, because them days were as good as these days, and they laid the paving stones and kept us where we are today. So thanks again to everybody. Peace and love.
Operator, give me the number for 911.